We begin the current daf, Mesech this might cut in daf Chav Zayin. We begin on the second line down at the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, from the halacha of our Mishnah, regarding the halacha of kaifin the Samita, so that the mourners, they have to sit on the overturned beds, whereas those who are coming to Menachem, them coming to serve them the food, should sit in the upright bed, unless if they're very friendly, then the halacha is that they're going to be on the upside down beds too. So on that, we continue to turn around and learn the Braisa. Me'emesai kaifin the Samitas, when do they turn over the beds for the laws of mourning? So the first opinion says, Meshayetze mi Pesach Beisai, for when the dead person is taken out of the entryway of his house, the Rebbe Eliezer, then already they turn over the beds. Pshuim, he says, no, it's Meshay Sasim HaGoyel. It's only later on when they close the casket, when they burying, that's when they turn over the beds. And actually, Maisa Shemesh Rimlil HaZak, and there's a story that Rimlil the elder passed away. Kevin Shayetze mi Pesach Beisai, once they left the entryway of the house, Amalim Rebbe Eliezer, Blezer said to them, which his opinion was just quoted in the Braisa, Kefum Meitesechem, turn over the beds. Now, the Kimish and Nestim Agoyel, once the casket was closed, Amar Rabbi Shua said to them, Kofim Mitesechem, turn over your beds, as his opinion was just quoted. Which Amar Lei, they said to him, Kfar Kefino, Pizakim, we already turned it over, already based on the elder, meaning Rabbi Eliezer already told us earlier when we left to enter the house, already then to turn over the beds. Turn around and Abraisim. When do we turn it right side up, the beds, Be'er Shabbos and Erev Shabbos, because getting ready for Shabbos, when we're not going to conduct ourselves with explicit mourning, that's Minah Mincha L'mala, which Tosfos brings, there's two times that are called Mincha, either what's called Mincha Gedayla, which is 6.5 hours into the day, or Mincha Ketana, which is 9.5 hours into the day. Those are different categories of Mincha of the afternoon. It's not, Tosfos has a different doubt regarding which one it is, but towards the afternoon of Erev Shabbos. Which Amar Rabbi Bar Huna, but he says Afa Pikin, even so that you turn the right side up at that point, in a Yishuv Le'Achatechshuk, but you don't sit on the beds right side up until it's already dark and it's night, it's already Shabbos. Now, well, the Matzah Shabbos. Now, once Shabbos is over, Afa Pisha Ein Le'Leishuv, even if the mourner doesn't have what to sit, Elu Yemecha, only one more day of mourning after Shabbos, still Chayz of a Kaifa, you'll turn it back upside down to continue the mourning as for that for Sunday. Turn about one Nabraisa. Hakoifa mitasa, someone who turns over his bed. Lo mitasa bovado koifa. It's not only his own bed that he turns upside down. El kol mita sheshla betech beisa hu koifa, rather old beds, old couches that he has in his house, he turns it upside down. Vafila yeshla eser mitas. Basar mekaimis, even if he has 10 beds in 10 places, koifa is cool and he turns them all upside down. And vafila chamisha achan, even 5 brothers, who may say achan and one of them dies, kul and koifa, they all turn it upside down in their homes. Now, if it was a bed that was designated for vessels, for utensils, then you don't have to turn it upside down. So to Dargish, which we're going to explain shortly what that is, you don't have to turn that upside down. It was like, rather keep it right side up. He says, actually, by Dargish, what you do is Mater es Karvita. You actually open up its straps, which are like these loops, and then the bedding falls by itself. So it's my dargish. What is this dargish that we have this machlekes regarding? You don't have to turn it upside down, or you have to at least open up the straps and let the bedspread fall down. So Amar Uli says it's arsa de gado. It's a bed that's designated for good mazel, and you don't use it for anything. It's just there to have good mazel, what's called mazel tov, which is what God means to take effect on it. On that, Amar Rabbi says, El Miat, if that's the case, that's what Dargish is, then take the Halacha Gabi Melech regarding a king. That now we learn the Mishnah Masech L'Sanhedrin that says, Kol Ha'am Mesubin Al Ha'aretz, all the people, they recline on the floor, but who, but the king, as a mourner, he's Mesav Al Ha'Dargish, he reclines on the Dargish. Now, Mikamidi, is there such a thing, Da'ad Ha'id No Lo Yisvinay, up until now, that until his state of mourning this king, we would never have him sit on this bed, because no one even sits on the dargish the way you're saying. Now we can have him sit over there? How could that be? That's where a dargish is. Why would the king be sitting on it? To which Maskel Ravashi asked back on this, it says, my question, what type of difficulty is this? Just like regarding eating and drinking. The ad ha'idno, up until this point, we would never give the king to eat and to drink. But now we change it up and we have him eat and drink from us, which is the halacha by the first day of the mourner. So that's not a difficulty that we would change things up. So it could be that he would be sitting on the dargish. Eleikash, or rather, if there is a difficulty on this interpretation, it would not be from what you're asking, but rather Horkasha would be Ditnan, which actually is a Braisa. The Braisa says, Dargish ain't Tzorch L'chafayse. The dargish, you don't have to turn it upside down. Ela's like, for rather you keep it right side up. Now, the Arsa the God, and if it's true, like you're saying, that it's this bed of just there to have the good mazel on it, Amai in Tzorch L'chafayse, why wouldn't you have to turn it upside down? Ha, and the gear says, Tani Bulun Nabraisa, Koifi Mitasa, is someone who turns over his bed. like we said, it's not only his own bed that he turns upside down. Rather, all the beds in the house that he turns upside down. So why wouldn't you take this arsa the god and turn it also upside down if that's what the argush meant? So Shigmar responds, my kasha, why is that a difficulty? Just like a bed that's designated for utensils, the time learned that braisim, hoisim, mita michadz lekelim, if it was a bed that was designated for vessels, in a tzoch lachafaisa, you don't have to turn it upside down. So that would be the same thing with arsa the god, because it's not meant for reclining on. That's why you don't turn it upside down. So Eli Kasher, the Gemara says, no, the first two questions are not difficult. If there is a question, this HaKasha would be the following teaching that would be difficult, what we quoted before in the Braisa. The second opinion, he said, no, the Dargish, not like the Tanakhama says, you don't turn it upside down. Your Mata Karvitav, what you do is you untie the straps, and then the bedding falls by itself. Now, if you're going to entertain to say that, what's this Dargish? It's this bed of good luck. So my kavitin islay, what type of loops is it going to have? In other words, if it's the arsa de gada, you never take it apart ever. It's something that's permanent. So why would we have straps and loops which would be there for taking apart? So rather kiyasa Rabban, when Rabban came to Bavel, Amalei Humar Rabbanan, one of the rabbis told him, and Rav Tachlifa Bar Maravishmei, his name was Rav Tachlifa Bar Marava, that b'shrich b'shuka de gildoy, that he was always frequent in the marketplace of the leather makers. He says, my dargish, I'll tell you what this dargish is. It's arsa ditzla. What it is it's a bed of leather where these were beds that were made for the nobility. When they would travel, they would take along these beds. And what you had, the bedposts had holes in them. And in those holes, they would thread through these straps. And also the leather bedding, which was placed and stretched out on this bed frame, would also be hanging straps, correlating to the straps of the bed's posts. When they wanted to make the bed, to fix it, so they would loop the straps from the leather into the straps of the bed post, and then they would take the post and put it into the legs when they wanted to detach it, so they would undo the loops, and then the leather would fall by itself. So yeah, those types of beds is what we're talking about is dargish, because that makes sense for Shem Lil has, that it has loops. And that's what we're saying, that there's a machlekes, do you have to, you could you just keep it right side up, or would you go ahead and turn it up, and or would you let this undo the straps and have the bedding just fall down by itself? Itmar, those who take out the word nami, depending on what the conversation of the Gemara is, that we learned, Omer Reb Yirmiyah says, dargish, Sedugai, its intervals, is mitaychai, is from within, which is that you would put the straps from the leather into the holes of the wood of the bed itself. Whereas that's what a dargish is. Whereas a mita, bed, is seduga al gaba, is that actually its intervals is, meaning the weaving, that what you're strapping on, is on top of it, meaning the leather is doubled over the wood. So again, dargish is through the wood, and by a mita, it's usually over the wood. I'm going to be Yaakov ba'acha, I'm going to be Shimon Levi. Says, Alecha, k'rbshim g'mlil, that by this dargish, which we explained are these leather beds which were made by the nobility, that what you have to do is you have to undo the straps, and then the bedding falls down. The Gemara continues, I'm going to be Yaakov ba'acha, I'm going to be Asi. Says, mita, regarding a bed, shenakliteha. What's nakletem? Those are the wood poles that are made by the head and the foot of the bed, which then on those big poles you put a wood that's long along the length of the bed, and then you put sheets over that, which then that's a canopy over the bed to protect those who are sleeping there from flies. So regarding such a bed that the poles are yitzin are sticking out, so zikfa, you stand it up v'dayay, and it's enough. What that means to say is that since you can turn it upside down because you have these posts sticking out, so you just leave it right side up. Or another interpretation is, what happens is actually you take away the posts and the curtain, and you leave it right side up, and you don't have to go ahead and turn it upside down, because just removing the curtain and the posts is like turning it upside down, and therefore you could leave it right side up, and that would be enough. I'm talking about one of the braisa, continuing this halacha regarding turning over the beds for when they're reclining on it. Yashna gabi kise. Someone was as a mourner was laying on a chair, al gabi udyani, on a mortar, or, and the gear says, gedoyla mizu, bigger than this, is even al gabi karki, even if he's on the ground. Le'etzadechavas did not fulfill his obligation. Why not? I'm a biyach, and essentially, kam kifis amita, because he did not fulfill the obligation, which we learned in the previous stuff, that he has to turn the bed upside down, and that's what he lays on. Tarma, then the braisa, mechabdin, you let us sweep, or mabitsin, you let us settle the dust, the base obel in the mourner's house. Umadichin, and you let it wash karas, the plates, the kaisis, and the cups, the sleiches, and the jars, the kitainis, and the bottles. You let it wash all these things, bebeis abba, in the morning's house. But, but you cannot bring incense, v'sabsamim, and the fragrant spices, lebeis abba, that you cannot bring to the morning's house. So, is that really so? But, toni bar kapar, tora b'raisa, that eim avarchin, you're not going to make a blessing on the incense, on the aroma. Not on the incense and not on the fragrant spice in the mourner's household. The inference is that you're not going to make a blessing, but I see, but you could bring it. So that contradicts what we said, you don't even bring it. So it's not difficult. Where there's actually different interpretations, which is which. One of them being, ha, this that was saying that you're not allowed to bring it at all is b'beis ha'avol, is in the house where the mourners are. Ha, this that we said that you do bring it is b'beis ha'menachem, is the place where those are coming to console, which is where the relatives are, that would be permitted to bring it over there. Then I'll look at the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of Avelis. This talks about regarding bringing different types of food items to the mourners. So the halacha is, in my lichen, we're not allowed to bring, meaning those who are coming to console, to bring meals, l'beis ha'avol, to the mourner's household. They cannot bring it l'beis tavla, not on a tray, v'lebe is kutla, and not with a large bowl, v'lebe kanan, not with a large basket, l'beis salam, rather has to be with a regular basket, not in a chash of a significant way. So too, v'ein ayim b'chaz avelim b'moyed. We don't make the blessing of the mourners, which is that meal that they make in the street, you cannot do that on chol ha'moyed, because of the fact that it's still a yomtim. Aval in the mishuda u'menachmin, but you do stand in the row, and they console him. And the pointness rabbim, and then he lets the public go, that he tells the consolers right away, go home, it's chol ha'moyed. So to imanich nesemita b'rechayiv, you don't put the coffin, the bed, in the street to eulogize him if it's chol ha'moyed. Shalo l'hargal es hasbid, because we don't want to get them in the habit of eulogizing, because one doesn't do this on chol ha'moyed. And when it's a woman who passed away, so then you never put her in the bed in the street, and they have covered because of dignity, because she's flowing from her zava dam, and because of that, we don't want it to be in a public display. So the Gemara elaborates on the halacha of our mission, the opening halacha. So the truth is, B'ri Shoyin, in the beginning, they used to bring to the mourner's house, Ashidim, the wealthy, would bring the food to the mourners, B'klosah, Shal Kesav, Shal Zav, with bowls of gold and silver. B'vanim, the poor, would come, B'salim, the tzadim, they would come with wicker baskets, Shaladav, Klufa, with peeled willows. Now, B'hoyonim, Esbaishim, the poor would be embarrassed. So Iskini, they instituted Shia Kol Mavin, that everyone should bring, B'salim, the tzadim, Shaladav, Klufa, with these wicker baskets of these peeled willows. And the reason they kavod shalanim, because like we said in the halacha of Mishnah, we're concerned with the dignity of people, in this case, even the poor as a category, so everyone has to bring the same. So we turn about the b'risa, but Rishayin in the beginning, hoi mashkin b'sa oval, they would give to drink in the mourner's household, ashirim, the wealthy, would bring b'schuchas lavana with white glass, v'anim b'schuchas tabua, but the poor would come with these colored glass. Now b'ayinim is b'ayishim, the poor would be embarrassed. So skinish yakol mashkin b'schuchas lavatzavua, so they instituted that everyone should give to drink in the colored glass, because of the dignity of the poor. Similarly, Berushain in the beginning, they used to uncover the face of the wealthy when he passed away, when they're taking him out to be buried. So the face of the wealthy would be red and healthy and robust. But they would cover the face of the poor when he passed away. And they show you mushkhar and panam, and they betrayed because their face was black because of hunger. Not vayanim is baishim, so the poor were embarrassed that they have their faces have to be covered. So his skin is shemachasim ne'akol, so they instituted that you cover the face of everyone. And again, the kavod shalim because of the dignity of the poor. Bereshina in the beginning, hoyim moitzin ashirim medargish. They would take out the wealthy on a dargish, which we said before is like this leather type of a portable bed. Vayanim, but the poor as a continuum of days would be bechlicha, would be with the bed that's made for people who died. Now, the poor would be embarrassed that they're going out on this gurney. So, everyone has to be taken out with this klicha, because again, the dignity of the poor. Similarly, in the beginning, they would put the fragrant incense under those who died from intestinal illness because they had a bad smell. Now, so those who were still alive, meaning other people who haven't that same disease of intestinal illnesses, they were embarrassed and they said, huh, when they're going to die, they're going to have to put beneath them the fragrant incense. Everyone's going to know that, oh, this person died from intestinal illnesses, and so they were embarrassed from that. So skinushim anichem techas hakol. So they instituted that to place beneath all those who die this incense, because of the dignity of those who are the living that have intestinal illness. But in the beginning, they would immerse the garments al gabi nidus meses regarding these vessels that were utilized by a woman who passed away as a nida in her state of menstrual menses, that those garments became tummy when she touched it, when she was still alive. So whatever she touched, they would make sure to immerse. But v'hayu nidus chayis mizbayishes. But other women who were nidus at the time would be embarrassed because they're doing for this woman what they don't do for other dead people, and they felt like embarrassed in that state of being as a nida. So instituted that to immerse all the elements of all women when they pass away. And they kivayin shal nidus chayis because the dignity of the women that are still alive that are also nidus. So to b'rishayna. In the beginning, matvilna gabi zav mesim, they would immerse for a man who had a ziba discharge, who passed away, who was tummy when he passed away. So they would immerse all the garments because of the tumma. Now vayizavin chaim is baishim, but the living zavim were embarrassed. So iskinushim matvilna gabi kol. So again, here also they instituted that you have to immerse for everyone who dies their garments. And the kavod shel zavim chaim because of the dignity of those who are living that are zav. So to b'rishayin in the beginning, hoisa hitzas hames. In the beginning, taking out a person who's dead to be buried was kosher lekarev, was difficult to the relatives to have to spend so much on the levaya, on the expensive burial shrouds. Yisim imisase, it was more difficult than actually the death. Achahoyu kreiv of manicha noisay barchan, that it was such an expense that the relative would leave the dead and would run away and would flee. Achabar mgliel benod kalas reish pasim. Until mgliel came along and he acted in a light-headed way towards himself, which either Tais says he gave this command when he was passing away, or he told one of his family members when he was still alive. And he was taken out with just regular linen garments. And then everyone started getting to that custom of taking out the dead in just a simple linen garment. Where Amar Papi says, and now these days, Nog Alma, the custom of the world is a filibit surada, even with canvas. Barzuza that could be bought with one zuz, even that they use. Then they went to the other extreme of not spending anything on the burial shrouds. Mishnah said, on Chol HaShamayid, we don't leave the bed in the street when we're making this levaya. Now, however, Amar Papa says, but in Mayid, you don't have these limitations of Chol HaShamayid, b'fnei Tamach Chacham, when it comes to the patira, the passing of a Talmudic scholar, where him you could eulogize him. So then you could have him in the street. And because Shkei Chanukah Purim, for sure that you don't have those limitations on Chanukah and Purim, But that's only if it's in front of the Talmud Chacham. But if it's not in front of him, then you don't have those dispensations. Says, is that really so? But Rav Kahana saftilat Rav Zvid Narda, Rav Kahana eulogized Rav Zvid, who passed away in Narda. He eulogized him before Nara, which was very far away from there. And it was on Chol HaMoed. I thought you said that you could only do it Bifonav. So Amra Papi, he says, Yom Shemu Hava. It was the day that he heard about it. Uki Bifonav Dami. And that's like in front of him. And therefore he had those that heter, that permit of doing a regular hesped for the Talmud Chacham. Now, Amar Uli qualifies. He says hesped is alev, which means to say when a person is banging opposite his chest. Would we find it? So it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, al shadayim saiftim, on their breasts they're going to beat. What's tipuach? That's biyad, when you slap one hand on the other one. What's kilus? That's berdekel, when you kick your foot into the ground. And these are all different body language of mourning. Now, talking about the Bryce, regarding the last one, Hamakalis, someone that is banging their foot in mourning, Loikalis per sandal should not bang when they're wearing a sandal, El Bamino only if they're wearing a shoe. The reason they're sakana because of danger, because the sandal might turn over and it might break his leg, so therefore he shouldn't do it with a sandal. Now, Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Ovel a mourner, Kivin Sheninna Reishai, once already that he shook his head, where it looks like, that he already consoled himself from himself. So then you can't have any more people trying to sit next to him to console him, because he already consoled himself, and therefore there's no point for them to be there. Another teaching from Amr Rabbi Yechanan says, Hakol chayav lamed bnei nasi. Everyone has to stand up in front of the leader of the Jewish people, except for a mourner and an ill person. Another teaching from Amr Rabbi Yechanan says, L'chol oimim lam shabu, to everyone you say, sit down, when they had stood up for the nasi, except for a mourner and a sick person, whereas Tais explains, because obviously, because they could sit down without your permission, because we said that they don't even have to stand up. So definitely if they are up, they don't need permission to be told to sit down, and they can sit down on their own. I'm going to read the Merab. He says, Aval Yem Rishon, a mourner the first day of mourning, It's forbidden for him to eat from his own bread. Which Tosfos says from the wording of the first day, it sounds like not only the first meal, but sounds like even if he eats many times, it sounds like the whole first day he cannot eat from his own. Where do we know this? In fact, that Hashem said to Yechezkel, and say to Yechezkel, and the bread of people you shouldn't eat, which as we taught in the previous daf, Hashem was showing that he's the exception to the rule. And therefore he said that a regular oval cannot eat from his own bread. Rabbi Rav Yosef, what they did was when they were sitting in Avelis, they just swapped meals with each other, so he wasn't eating from his own bread, and because he gave his meal to him and the other one gave the meal to him. Another teaching from Rabbi Yehud Merav, he says, Meis Be'ir, if someone dies in the city, everyone in the city is forbidden to go ahead and do work. But as Tosfos said in the previous daf and here also, but it sounds like by Talmud Torah that it would be permitted and it wouldn't be asa, but work, no one could be doing work. Now the Gemara actually brings a story related to this. Rav Hamnuna went to the south, and Shama Kol Shipur Deshachvi heard the sound of the shayfer, which is when someone passed away, they're blowing the shayfer. Now Chaza Hanach Inshi, he saw these people, the Ka'avdi Uva Vidita, that they were working. Amlu, he said to them, Lahava Hanach Inshi Bishamta, let those people, meaning you guys, be in excommunication. Leshachvi Ika Bemasa, isn't there someone who passed away in the town? And the Allah is no one's allowed to do work. Amalei, they said to him, Chavurasa Ika Bemasa. There is groups in the town where each group buries their own peoples. And since that's what's known as Chevra Kedisha, the holy group, which it's their responsibility to take care of that group, and everyone has their own one in charge. Amalei said to them, Oh, if that's the case, Shailacha, then you are permitted to work because it's already being taken care of by the Chevra Kedisha. Another teaching of Amar Yehuda Merav, it says, "Kol maskasha mesa yosim dai." Whoever takes it hard, regarding the loss of his relative who died, more than what's necessary, amesachu baicha, he's going to cry for another person, a relative of his that's going to die. The Gemara brings a story related to this. That he itza, there's a certain woman that have a bishiv avusa did avhuna that was in the neighborhood of avhuna, and havala shivabane, she had seven sons. Meschad minai, one of them died. Now havas kabachu bi sidosale, she was crying more than what was necessary over this son. So Shalch Rav Huna, Huna sent her, Leitav Deachi, don't do this. La'ashke Chabei, she didn't pay attention to him. And Shalch Le, he sent her, Itzai is mutib. If you're going to listen, it's going to be good. But if not, you at Tzavis, Zavad Tol Idach, do you want to go ahead and get provisions for the dead, meaning to get burial shrouds for another child? What I was, miss another, and then she had a loss of another child. And actually, Miss Kulu, all her children ended up dying. And he told her, Timush Zavadutola Navshech. Go ahead and prepare burial shrouds for yourself. And Umisa, and she died. As the Gemara brings the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Al Tivkul Ameis. Don't cry for the one who died. Val Tenudulai, and don't shake for him. Which means, Al Tivkul Ameis, don't cry for the one who died. Yosimele, more than necessary. Val Tenudulai, and don't shake for him. Yosimele, more than what's necessary, more than the measurement. Okay, so it's what the appropriate measurements. So those are the halachas that we know in the laws of mourning. Shleishi yom lebechi, the first 3 days, which are the most intense, that's for the crying. V'shiva, the rest of the 7 day period is lehesped, is for lamenting. And v'shleishim, the period of the 30 days, is legeut, to spoil, is not to press one's clothing, not to take a haircut. But makama elach, after the 30 day period, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, iatim rachmanim b'yosim, and you're not more merciful than me. Don't continue to cry and think you have more compassion than I do. The pasuk says over there in that same pasuk, b'chu b'chei lahoylech. Surely cry for the one who leaves. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yehuda means lahoylech b'leibon, the one who leaves without any children, which if he passed away without ever having had offspring, which actually the Gemara brings that Rabbi Shimon Levi lo'ozla be'avli, he wouldn't go to the house of mourning. El l'man de'ozla b'leibon, only for someone who passed away without any children. The Chassidus says in the pasuk, b'ch b'ch lahoylech, where do you should surely cry if it's the one who leaves? Again, like we said, for the one who leaves without any children. Ki layoshev oid, because he's not going to return again, v'ros eretz malato, and see the land of his birth. He's done. He's not left anymore in the chain. Now another interpretation of that same pasuk, Rav Huna Amri says this pasuk is referring to zesha av aver b'shanaba, someone who violated a prohibition and he did a second time. That's what pasuk says. V'le'yoshev oid, sounds like from here on he's not going to be able to do tshuva ever again. Which, as the Gemara explains, Rav Huna is going according to his reasoning elsewhere. Because Amar Rav Huna said kibin sha'aver adam aver b'shanaba. But once a person violated a sin and he repeated it, that sin huchulai, it's permitted for him. So the Gemara says, what you entertain to say that suddenly because he did it 2 times is actually permitted to him? It became fame, like it's unpermitted. It's like it doesn't even affect him anymore. And therefore, again, he's not going to do tshuva. And that's what it means in the pasuk. If he did bochi, did it two times, he's not going to go ahead and do tshuva. Amar Levi says, going back to the previous halacha, where we said there's 3 and 7 and 30. So, Avol Shleish Yom Rishayim, a mourner the first 3 days, Yiras Atma, he should see himself, Kilu Cherem Nachas Le Ben Shtei, either Yerichesev or the Gir says Kesefav, as if he has a sword that's placed between his two shoulder blades. Mishleish, meaning because the judgment has just passed on him, it's just within the first 3 days. Mishleish Shachiva from day 3 till day 7, Kilu Menachas Le Kenegde Beken Zavis, as if it's opposite him but in the corner. After the Shiva is Kilo Iber is connected to Bashog. It's as if it's passing opposite him in the marketplace. That's again, like we said, where you have the third part, that of the Shleshah.